Let's take our Bibles today, and if you will, open up with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, this past issue of the Sword of the Lord had an article, and it's interesting because I found the same article in several other publications within this last week. And I thought I would share it, and it's also going to be the topic for this Mother's Day 2022 message. The article says, "We had the meanest mother in the world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal and eggs and toast. When others had a Pepsi and a Twinkie for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess, our mother fixed us a dinner that was different from other kids, what they had. Mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think that we were convicts in a prison. She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. We were ashamed to admit it, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash the dishes, make the beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, and all sorts of cruel jobs. By the time that we were teenagers, she could read our minds. Then life was really tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come up to the door so that she could meet them. And while everybody else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait until we were 16 and then had to go with others. Because of our mother, we missed out on a lot of other things that other kids experienced. None of us ever have been caught for shoplifting, vandalizing, or ever arrested for any crime. It was all her fault. We never got drunk, took up smoking, stayed out all night, or a million other things other kids did. Sundays were reserved for church, and we never missed once. We knew better than to ask to spend the night with a friend on Saturdays. Now that we've left home, we are all God-fearing, educated, honest adults. We are doing our best to be mean parents, just like Mom was. I think that's what's wrong with this world today. It just doesn't have enough mean moms anymore. In honor of our Mother's Day message is about the mean moms of the Bible. And it's going to touch all you mean mothers that are here today. Because what we see in the Scripture, we see by today's standards what people would call a mean mom. Let's get a glimpse of our first mean mother. The first mean mother is the helicopter overprotective mom. All right? You got one of them? The helicopter overprotective mom. In the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Just back up. I want to catch these two verses here, three verses. Starting in verse 15, the Bible says that the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. This was a dangerous time to be a parent, but an even more dangerous time to be a young baby boy because they were supposed to be killed. You could conceal your pregnancy for only so long. But can you imagine what must have been taking place here in Egypt, that as a woman begins to show and it's obvious that she's pregnant, don't you think that there is somebody gathered around somewhere that's writing her name down and alerting midwives or asking the midwives, "Do you know of any of those Hebrew women that are getting ready to have a baby?" And then they were supposed to make sure that the male children were murdered. Well, look in Exodus chapter 2, and let's meet our overprotective helicopter mom. In Exodus chapter 2, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Typical moms, they got their spies everywhere, don't they? Watching everything that is done, making sure you're not getting into trouble, making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. And this spy that Mama uses just happens to be the older sister to Moses. Did any of your parents use your other older siblings to spy on you? Kind of rings a bell a little bit, doesn't it? That's what an overprotective helicopter mom does. And if you've got one of them, let me tell you something. I had the queen of the overprotective helicopter mom society. Believe me. And did you know that there is a medical reason for it? They've got a problem. They really do. According to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, they have discovered a hormone that turns a normally sane woman into a mama bear. It's called corticotropin-releasing hormone. Mothers that will have a low, you'd think if they had a high dose of it, that they would just be ferocious. If they have a high dose of it, they don't tend to be as protective. If they have a low dose of it, they're nasty. They'll tear you apart. You mess with their cub, you're going down. And, you know, they're not going to ask permission to tear you apart. They're going to tear you apart because they've got this corticotropin-releasing hormone. Call it what you want. I would say let's give credit to the Lord, because the Lord is the one that put that in the mama bear to take care of the cub. The mamas have got that within them to take care of their children. The Lord's put that within their character. It's a character trait of moms. And kids, I know as kids we don't appreciate it. And we don't understand it. You have to become a parent yourself before you'll ever understand it. So if our kids are sitting here today and say, "I don't get it. I just don't get it." You're not going to get it until you become your own parent. And you're going to look over your shoulder and you're going, "Oh, I did exactly what Mom did." Now, dads, by the way, dads, don't get offended. I know you do this too. It's not your day. Get over it. All right? We'll chat with you in June. This is for the moms. It's interesting that we see this characteristic throughout the Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young." The word "to fluttereth over her young" is literally to brood over them. And you see those birds as they brood over their young chicks. In the book of Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." The Lord says, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Isn't that cool to watch how the chickens do that? I love coming up County Road C. And if you come up County Road C to church or anything, be careful when you get near the retention pond. You got all these geese and all those baby goslings. Is that what they're called? Goslings? That is the cutest thing to watch. And you watch those, oh, a mama goose, you don't mess with that. I mean, that's, I think, worse than a mama bear. But those mama geese, you watch how they will take their little goslings, and they will get them things, and you'll watch them if they get a little too far away, and they'll kind of fluff up a little bit, and they'll waddle their little fat bodies over, and they'll, and just tuck that thing right in. Why? Because that's the overprotective helicopter mama trait. And aren't you glad that your mama did that? Two of you. Okay. Mean moms who care about what their children watch, who their friends are, will there be parents there where you're going? What will you be doing? What are you reading? What are you listening to? That's what mean moms do as they hover over and protect. You want to know why the mean mom will do that? Or why she will allow herself to do that? Because she's not trying to win a popularity contest with you kids. She is trying to be a parent. She's not trying to be Miss Popular in your life. Oh, I wish I had somebody else's mom. They let them do anything they want. Well, let me tell you something. Those other people don't have a mama. They got somebody that's just kind of the keeper of the zoo. That's all they are. They're not a mama. The mama's going to be the one that's overprotective. They're going to be the ones that are the helicopter moms. And for those of you who go, oh, I just, those overprotective parents. You've obviously never been one, have you? Because when you got a kid and you know that that kid is your charge, your responsibility, your problem, your issue, and you know that everything out there is doing everything to destroy them. Listen to me. This is a world that wants to eat your children alive. I mean, there is absolutely nothing of the world's culture, of the world's nature, because it is the devil's world, is the devil's nature that is out there. And the devil is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to gobble them kids up. If you can destroy that child in their childhood, in the innocency and the trainability of their brain, they become locked into the way that the world talks and thinks and acts and all that kind of stuff. And that is exactly what the world is trying to do. And it is trying to take the children away at an earlier and an earlier stage. I think the day is coming where parents, they go to the hospital, they have the child, and then the government says, we'll raise them now. We'll take them from you. We'll raise them. You can come visit, but we're going to raise them. Why not? The government's already raising them from what, about 3 years of age? With all the different government programs that parents will stick their kids in because the parents don't want to be there or can't be there or whatever. And so let's let the government teach them. What's that message going to be? Well, you know, it ain't going to be good, and it's not going to be God's message, right? Praise the Lord for that overprotective mom. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Here's another mean mom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. This is the mean mom that has rules. Hot kids that are left that aren't back in children's church, how many of your moms have rules? How many of you know you better obey them rules? Yeah, I think the same number of hands. Okay. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Mama lays the law down, don't she? Let's go to chapter 6, look at verse 20. And the Bible says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Moms have a lot of rules that govern the house. Rules like, clean your room. I'm not your maid. It's a pigsty. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Keep your elbows off the table. Before you come to the table, wash your hands and your ears. I never understood that. What do my ears have to do with eating? Mind your manners. No dessert until you finished your broccoli. Oh, I heard that a lot. Don't let the screen door slam behind you. Gotta love this one. If you're too full to finish your supper, you're too full for dessert. No cell phones at the table. Be in by 10. And to cap it all off, as long as you live under my roof, you will live by my rules. How many of you heard Mom say that? Yep. Let's face it, and let's be honest, every rule that mom has doesn't make sense. You want me to say that again? Every rule that mom has doesn't make sense. Now, I know our moms are thinking they want to come up here and just get in line and kick me for that. But moms, be honest, every rule you got does not make sense. It's not logical, like the whole hands and ears thing. It's not logical. You say, I don't understand that. That don't make sense. For the kids and for the adults that maybe haven't got there yet to understand this, the rules that mom has don't have to make sense. You just have to do them. Right? Moms, right? You know, they don't have to make sense. Why do I have to do this? Oh, no. You don't ask why. You were told to do this. They don't make sense. You want to do it twice, right? Doesn't have to make sense. You say, well, I think every rule ought to make sense. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Every time you pick up this book and you read it, does it always make sense what God tells you to do? I mean, every time does it make sense? Do you understand? Every time when God tells you to do something a particular way, does it make sense? The answer should be no. God didn't say try to make sense of it. He just said do it. Why? Because He's God. You say, my mom ain't God. You're absolutely right. But she is the authority that God has put in your life. And you are to honor and obey your parents. I'll go ahead with parents. Let dads get involved a little bit here. You are to honor and obey your parents, but since it's Mother's Day, honor and obey your mom. You don't have to make sense of it. When do we tend to understand some of the rules that mom had? When we get older and we have our own kids. When we have matured. When do we start understanding God's rules better? When we get older and have started to mature. And we go back and we read and it's like, oh, that's why God told me to do this. That's why God said to not do this. I'm understanding now. Why? Is it because God changed anything? No. It's because we got older, we grew up, we matured. And now it's starting to make some sense. And yet, there are going to be things in God's Word that till the day we die, we're not going to be able to wrap our heads around it. And we're going to say, okay, Lord, I've got all eternity to ask questions. And I you know, will the Lord let us take a list? I hope. Because, boy, we're going to have a list, aren't we? I got questions, Lord. And we start asking them. Until then, just obey. I don't know how many times I heard, just do what you're told. You know, how many times do you suppose God is telling us, just do what you're told? And that's what obedience is all about. What a mean mom that would have rules that she expects followed. Here's another one. Let's go to Proverbs 31. This is kind of a, I don't know, I think kind of a funny one, but it just reflects. It reflects what a mother is all about, and it also reflects something that God does care about. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 13, the Bible says of this virtuous woman that she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. A mean mom cares about what you wear in public. Right? A mean mom cares about what you wear in public. You want to know why? Because it's a reflection on them. As a kid, there was a Saturday night ritual that always took place. Mom ironed all of our clothes. Your shirts, your trousers, whatever you was wearing, it got ironed. And then I remember the newspapers lined up. Some of you don't remember what that was for? Going to get the shoes shined. Bring me your dress shoes. Dress shoes. Can't go to church with dirty dress shoes. They were just shined last week. I wore them to church. How dirty did I get in church? Got to shine them again. And every Saturday night, there's that little lineup of our shoes. Everything's got to be shined and ready to go, because Mom saw how we dressed as a reflection on her. You know, those days are gone so far into the past. Most kids are wearing stuff today that we would have cried to have worn when we were kids. You know, the ripped up clothes that looks like it's been through a shredder. And they actually pay money for that, and it baffles my mind. They paid for that. Why? You know, to be Goodwill don't even want it. You know, there was a day Goodwill would say, throw that in the garbage. Oh no, that's fashionable. Boy, we should have kept all that ripped up stuff, should we? I can remember those on blue jeans. You remember those iron-on blue patches? I was so embarrassed to wear that. I mean, oh, Mom, get the iron, get me, here comes that blue patch. Everybody's going to think I'm poor, I'm a pauper. So embarrassed by that. Now it's fashion. It's like, you got to be kidding. Doesn't make any sense. You got, Mom, you go to Walmart and you know that nobody knows how to dress anymore. So what difference does it make what the kid is wearing when you see how some of the moms are dressed? Then there are a few of those kids, and that mean old mom would say things like this. She would say, you're not going out of the house dressed like an urchin. You're not a rap star. Pull the pants up. Turn the hat around. And Missy, you better put on a different top. Nobody wants to see your belly button or what's going on at the top. You're so old-fashioned. You just don't know how they dress in this century. You dress like last century. It's called modesty. You know, God cares about what we wear. In 1st, 2nd Timothy, the Apostle Paul saying to young Timothy that the older women, and we're going to get into this tonight, that the older women, the older men are supposed to teach the younger men and the younger women certain things. And one of the instructions that is given to the ladies is in one word, modesty. God cares about what we wear. He is concerned about that. If God wasn't caring about what we wore, then why did he make animal skins and say, get rid of them fig leaf aprons? He cared about what they wore from the garden to today. And you know what? Thank God for mean old moms that do a dress check before those kids go out of the house. Remember, I'm at the school. You really wonder. You wonder. Supposedly there's a dress code. It's not enforced. And you look at what some of these kids come to school dressed in the mornings, and I'm thinking, dear God, where is their mother? You say, well, what about the dads? You know, it's amazing how many of the dads aren't in the picture at all. And so here comes this kid out of the house. They don't have a mean mom. And then those mean moms make their kids actually dress appropriately. Aren't you glad you had a mean mom? Let's try that again. Aren't you glad you had a mean mom? All right. One more. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers, with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Go over to chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says in verses 14 and 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What do we know about Timothy's parents? These verses here in 2 Timothy give thanks to not only a mother, but also to a grandmother who is involved in the spiritual upbringing of young Timothy. What do we know, though, about the parents as a whole? Go back to the book of Acts chapter 16. It's the only thing that we get in the New Testament that gives us a clue about how Timothy was raised, or the environment, I guess I should say, in which he was raised. It says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek." This young boy was raised in a theologically divided home. Mom is saved, dad is lost. They are spiritually divided. Not only, though, are they spiritually divided, they are ethnically divided. A Jew has married a Gentile. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Timothy to have grown up in that environment? He has got this spiritually divided home. It is ethnically divided, and that was a big issue because the Jews were not to have intermarried with the Gentiles. That was just, you don't do that. And they did. That's not good. That's not going to work. So what ends up happening? Well, if we do what a lot of moms do today, we'll let our kid figure this out. You know, I'm not going to push them. They need to make their own choices. They need to make their own decisions. Is that what Lois and Eunice did? Not in the least. They showed them, showed Timothy what the Bible said. One writer confesses that as a child he had a drug problem. I wonder how many of you had a drug problem when you were kids growing up. He said he was drugged to church services. He was drugged to funerals and to weddings. He was drugged to reunions and socials. He was drugged by the ears when he misbehaved. He was drugged to the woodshed when he disobeyed. He was drugged to the kitchen sink to have his mouth washed out with soap. And he was drugged to home to help out needy neighbors, to do yard work or whatever else was needed. He had a drug problem when he was a kid. He had parents that didn't let him just make a decision for himself, but they led him to the place where he'd make the right decision. Lois and Eunice did that in the life of Timothy. Timothy had to choose Christ for himself. Timothy didn't get saved because mom and grandma were saved. He got saved because they were faithful to share the word of God with him and to teach him what was right and to constantly plant the seed and constantly water the seed so that the Holy Spirit of God could take that seed and make that thing explode in his heart so that he would trust Christ as Savior. That's the kind of parents. That's what a mean mom does. They want to make sure that the child knows the truth regardless of what everybody else is doing. Oh, all my friends, how come none of my friends have to go to church like I do? I want to be able to go out and play on the weekends like they do. Praise God for you mean moms. And you say, this is the priority. This is the Lord's day. We're going to be in the house, Lord. You say, yeah, but I sure wish my husband would come. You keep coming. You keep coming without him. Maybe someday you'll be able to be a witness and an influence to him. You say, well, how do I do that? Read 1 Peter chapter 3. That'll tell you. And maybe you'll have that influence on him. But right now, your husband is not your priority. It's that child. It's that child. He's an adult. He's making his own decisions. You have a child that you are told. You are told to train up your child, not train up your husband. Amen. That was weak. I thought guys would chime in better on that. Your wife's not supposed to train you, right, guys? You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to be the head of your home. You ought to be taking your family to church, guys. That's your job. But if you're not, that wife needs to. She needs to make sure that those kids are being exposed constantly to the things of the Lord. That it is, that there is a church. Here's what happens for the mom, like Lois, Eunice, the grandmothers, and if they will bring those kids to church, maybe they're not seeing the godly example of manhood at home. But look at all the men that are here this morning. Look at these guys. We've got some good men here. We've got some godly men here. We've got men of faith. We got men that'll take a stand. We got men that'll be back with their family tonight, not sitting at home, playing with the remote, doing their own thing. We got men of God. And these young kids that maybe don't have that father figure at home can come to church and see, oh, you mean men go to church too? Thought it was just for women and children. No, guys get included too. But thank the Lord for the mean mom. There's so many more examples of mean moms in the Bible. Moms who prayed and turned their child over to the Lord. You know, how many moms said to their kid, they said, wait till your father gets home? Oh, that's nothing. I'm going to go pray about you. I'm going to take you to the Lord. Forget dad. I'm taking you to the Lord. Ooh, what a mean mom. Moms who gave their child to the Lord for service, like Hannah did in the book of 2 Samuel. Moms who made a difference when the father was a scoundrel. Thank God for the mean moms. To the Christian this morning, I want to conclude the service with a couple of ways of invitation. First of all, if your mom is still living, and she was one of those mean moms, you know, maybe mom wasn't saved, but mom was still a mean mom. She still had the rules. She still was overprotective. She was still doing a lot of the motherly trait kind of things. And she didn't just let you do what you wanted to do. What about calling that mom and telling her thank you? Really shock her, say, thanks for being a mean mom. What? Then you can preach today's message to her and you can share with her what that's all about. Maybe Mother's Day is particularly difficult because you say, I didn't have that mean mom. I had the permissive mom. I had a mom that was absent. I had a mom that wasn't very motherly. I had a mom that wasn't very respectable, wasn't very honorable. And your vision of a mother isn't the greatest. You can be thankful that that mom at least taught you what not to do. And you can be thankful that she brought you into this world. And you can be thankful that you have an example from the opposite perspective of what you don't want to be a part of your life. This morning, I would encourage you that if you're a mom or a dad, and you know Christ as Savior, this is a great day to recommit yourself to the Lord and to say, Lord, I want to be a better, godly mom or dad, grandma or grandpa. Well, let's not leave the kids out, because this could be a good day you say, I want to be a better kid for mom and dad. Amen, parents? Well, that'd be cool. I want to be a better kid for mom and dad. I want to really show them my love and that I honor them and I'm going to obey them. You might have to pick mom and dad up off the floor if they saw you do that, but that's okay. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest gift that you could possibly receive on this Mother's Day is the gift of salvation. Jesus Christ, eternity past, saw every single one of us. Isn't that amazing? The billions of people that have been on this planet since before Adam and Eve were ever created, God saw every single one of them in His foreknowledge. Not a one was missed. And God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to this world to die for each and every one of us. Why? because we're sinners. We come into this world with a sin nature. We come into this world needing a Savior and needing the debt and the price of our sin paid. And God sent His only begotten Son into this world to die on the cross for our sins. But not just to die, but to be buried in the tomb and to arise again from the grave to live. That power of the resurrected Christ is the power that takes an old sinner and turns him into a new creature in Christ Jesus. You say, well, did Jesus do that for me? Well, are you part of humanity? If you say, well, yeah, then Jesus died for you. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to save your soul today. But you must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved for yourself. We can't do that for you. At this invitation, we would love to just take you aside and open God's Word with you and introduce you to Jesus. But the decision is yours. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank You, Lord, so much for the opportunity to celebrate the gift of motherhood that You gave. And to remember these moms of the Bible that demonstrated these godly characteristics that so many people would think they were being mean, but they were just being the moms that You'd made them to be. And Lord, as we come to this invitation time, whatever decisions need to be made, whether a lost soul needs to trust You as Savior or a believer in Christ maybe needs to get something right with You today. Whatever it is, we just pray, Lord, You'd have the freedom to work for Your honor and glory. And we ask it in the name of Jesus.